Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
I want to preach tonight out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It's one of those chapters that would be in my top 10 chapters probably. One I've preached out of many times in different ways and different messages that are there. And due to the shortness tonight, I'm not going to preach those 12 messages that I have preached before out of the book of the first chapter here. But I do want to read a few things, read a little bit from a standpoint of the scripture, and then share some quick thoughts with you tonight as well. Joshua chapter 1, would you mind standing with me, please? And I'll read the scripture that we will look at tonight. Joshua 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Father in heaven, we pray you would add your blessings to the reading of the Word of God. We're thankful to know, Lord, that thy Word is quick and sharper, more powerful than a two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, that it would work in the hearts of each one of us. Lord, just as one little thought tonight, but I pray you'll drive it home from the Scriptures into our hearts and lives and give us the faith and the courage in going forward for thee and making our lives count before Jesus comes back. We pray in his holy name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever had that feeling that there just wasn't any hope? Have you ever said, there's just no use, I'm totally frustrated in my Christian life, and I think I'll never measure up to what God expects for me. I'm just kind of a failure in my Christian life even. Have you ever wished that maybe you could get victory over a bad habit, but every time you seem to have tried it, you failed? Have you ever wished that you could be a bold Christian and tell other people about your faith, but instead you come up and you fall short of that, retreating sometime into a coward's corner? Have you ever wondered why some people seem to have it all together, and for some reason, you've kind of settled into a status quo, and you're just not sure of how to go forward? Have you looked at some Christian people, like your staff and their families, and I'm sure the deacons and other workers here in the church, and you think, wow, if I could just be like them, it'd be so nice. I remember when I was a freshman in Bible college, I'd been saved 1 year. I went off to Bible college after being called into the ministry. And as walking across campus, I was a married student, had already been married, and walking across campus and going through the struggles and turmoil of my life and the problems that were there and the wars that were taking place that the Apostle Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7, I thought, I can hardly wait until I become a senior and be saved for 4 or 5 years and get rid of all these struggles and problems that I'm having. Boy, was that ever a joke. I think I've had more as the years have gone on and gone by. But sometimes you think, if only I could just have a little bit of R&R away from the old devil and settle down a little bit. I seem like I could enjoy things a whole lot more. But I found out in my Christian life, the devil doesn't take any vacations. The devil doesn't take any time off. And neither should I, and neither should you ever let down our defense and going forward for the Lord. I recall to mind years ago, I was talking with my brother-in-law who was on my staff for 19 years before he went home to be with the Lord. But he used to be a B-52 bomber pilot. I remember him telling me one time that he is stationed down in Puerto Rico and he came up into, they would fly these dry bombing runs there in South Georgia and in Florida. And this was years ago and during the Nixon administration, and he was doing one of his practice bombing runs and came and landed his plane down in Homestead in Florida. And then they were going back the next day, do it again, and then go back to Puerto Rico, their home base. And as they were doing that, he said he was on base and he was restricted there to the base on a Sunday. And so on a Sunday afternoon, he was driving around on the base. He was a pilot of the plane. He was driving around on base, and all of a sudden, he heard all the sirens go off and all the alert calls to come back to the hangars quickly and man your airplanes. And so he went flying back as quickly as he could in the car. He was on base already to come back because a strange plane had just landed. It was a MiG jet from Cuba that just landed and came and parked. And it just so happened that a president was at his summer vacation or winter vacation house, and this MiG jet came and parked right in front of Air Force One. The pilot gets out, and my brother-in-law was telling me that the pilot, it just so happened, they found out later, had escaped and escaped from the Cuban Air Force and flew his airplane. I said, well, how in the world did they ever get over here and get in without our radar and everything being able to get them? He said, well, when the guy came in the Cuban jet and he had his missiles on the plane as well, it was ready to go into war. He said, when you lose radio contact or you don't speak their language, he said, you simply tilt the wings back and forth. It lets the people in the tower, you don't have any communication, clear the runway, I've got to land. He tilted his wings, they cleared the runway, he landed. And of course, all the police and everybody came up there after the pilot got out and found out he had defected from the Cuban military. And talking with my brother-in-law, I said, well, how is it possible? Because I thought we had all these AWACS planes and these that have the radar shooting down and all of the other radar going out from our shores all the way around continental United States. So how could it have happened? He said, well, he said, it just so happens that in the last year, they had to cut down, this is what he told me, they had to cut down the defense budget. And what they did was they thought what we can do is just keep our AWACS planes down on the ground all day on Sunday, one day a week. That way we can save a lot of money from having to keep them up in the air all the time. I've never forgotten that. I've often thought that's the way we think sometime the devil might be. I mean, he works hard and works overtime in our lives 6 days a week, but on the seventh day, he rests with the rest of us. Not on your life. There's no rest whatsoever. The devil is unrelenting and trying to destroy your life, my life, the church's life, the college life, the individual's life. He wants to stop us all. But I'm saying to all of us, we all need to roll up our sleeves and keep in mind, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. We can carry on for the Lord, but we have to step up to the plate. We have to go forward. We can't back off at all. General Joshua is one of my favorite Bible characters. And Joshua had been Moses' assistant for some 40 years. And now it was Joshua's responsibility to take the nation of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. It would be no easy task. There were going to be wars. There would be fighting. There would be innumerable difficulties. There would be resistance. There would be bloodshed. There would be faced with fortified cities and armies. But keep in mind, the warfare in those days was not like it is today. I mean, they didn't have the bombers. They didn't have the missiles. And they had simply the swords. They had the spears that were there. They had the eyeball-to-eyeball contact that they did in their bloody wars that they would be fighting with their swords and their spears, where you could actually see the color of your enemy's eyes. There Joshua was, to say at least, had to have been scared. But Lord, I've got to go into the promised land? You want me to go in there and lead this nation into this wonderful promised land that you promised? Lord, why didn't you do it under Moses and get the warfare over and help me out so I don't have to face this kind of thing? And our text then was designed to be able to help Joshua out as he had a horrendous task in front of him, something he had to do. And as to say, as our text was designed to be able to give Joshua some courage in going forward for the Lord. Notice, if you would, where he said in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He told him in verse 6 to be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." He was told, now, they're going forward, Joshua, there's going to be some work that needs to be done, but be strong, Joshua. Be courageous, Joshua. You can get the job done. We think about a work that needs to be done with the building program y'all have coming up and your miracle offering next Sunday, and what a special time that's going to be. I hope somebody calls me and lets me know how it goes. I'm anxious to hear the wonderful day that God gives to you. But in anything in life, it takes courage for the most part as a Christian to go forward for God. You don't. Some of you have been called to the mission field. You're going to go out to a foreign country someday and plant churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to take a lot of courage on your part. You're not going to be used to what you see out there, or maybe the language that you have to learn. Some of you in your home and some in life itself, but all of us have to be courageous in going forward in the Christian life. Some definition of courage that I read. Winston Churchill said, "Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts." George Patton said, and I quote, "Courage is fear holding on a minute longer." Karl Barth said, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." C.S. Lewis said, "Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point." The Hebrew definition means to be alert or quick or energetic. And from a practical point today, courage is that character trait that enables us to face the impossible, to go through obstacles of adversity and fear, to go down the path of greatest resistance and going forward for God. Notice with me, if you would, the need for courage of commitment that we need in our lives. The need of courage for commitment in our lives. Joshua felt very inadequate to take over the leadership of Israel. And he let the Lord know, "I'm having a hard time with this thing. I'm scared to death about this thing." And he was. And so God told him in verse 6, look there, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." God reassured him though admonishing him to be of courage and not to worry about his own inadequacy that he has. For the Lord promised to take care of every situation that he had to face, just like he promised to take care of every situation you and I have to face in life. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whatever it is that God has for me. And it would be different for every single one of us, I am sure. But Joshua is committed to do the will of God, which enables him to exercise the courage that was necessary. In other words, there was to be purpose in our lives and sticking with it and being willing to go forward for the Lord. Joshua had the responsibility of dividing up the land, responsibility of taking the 12 tribes and giving them a part of that land. But there was one catch, though, before he could divide up the land, and that is he had to conquer the land first. And so for most of us, there's something out there that kind of stands in our way. It may be a circumstance that is there, a problem along the way. It may be a decision that was made. It may be financial restraint that I would have in my life. It may be something at my work. It may be a struggle I'm going through personally. It may be a habit. I'm doing all that I can to put it aside, but for some reason, it keeps coming back on me, and I can't get the victory over it. And I'm saying, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let down. Get courage. You can do what God wants you to do. And keep in mind, folks, God will never ask you to do anything that he won't equip you to do. As has been said, you and God make a majority in any situation. Give it your best. Go forward for God. Don't let up at all. It's putting our necks out that we have to do as Joshua did. But courage of commitment means fulfilling the will of God in your life. Each of us has to know what it is the Lord wants for us. And the wonderful thing is that God has a plan for you as he has a plan for me in this holy book. You don't have to wonder about the will of God. It's not something mystical. It's not something that God only gives some staff people and some preachers. That's not true. The moment you get saved, God has that will for you. And he wants you to do his will. He wants you to be in the perfect will that he has for you. And he lays it out for us in the Bible in knowing the will of God. We know the will of God through the word of God. And I've always said people don't know the will of God because they don't know the word of God. As I stay in my Bible, I will better understand as God opens up and reveals the word to me to know God's perfect will in my life. Now listen, there's a will for you. For some of you people, like a college student, you're thinking God's will for you will probably be unfolded somewhere during your college experience, but for sure preparing you for something outside of college, the next phase of your life, your journey that you go on. Some of you are in some other college, perhaps. God has a plan for your life. Some of you in high school. Some of you are already career people. You say, well, I'm already locked into my job. You're not locked into anything when you are walking with God and the will of God. God has a plan for your life. It's up to you to discern exactly what that is. I've often said there are kind of four things I can know the will of God by. The word of God, which I get 95% of it. The word of God through my prayer life, through counsel that I get from talking to other godly men or pastor, and through circumstances, which is the least thing that we go by. And you take all four of those things and line them up so that they all kind of agree together, and then you want to jump into it and do it. So I could never do it. You can do anything God wants you to do. You can do anything, whatever it is. It may take the courage down inside, but you can do it. It's just making up your mind, I'm going to do the will of God. I want the will of God in my life. Courage to fulfill your commitment. Courage of commitment, even in marriage. And some of you are thinking, you know, I don't know if this thing's going to work out. I think I need a newer model. Now, trust me, your wife's thinking the same thing. I think I've got to do something else. I mean, after all, my wife's not like she was when I was married. Now, thank God, my wife is 45 years later. He said, that's impossible. Look, I'm doing the preaching. And thank the Lord for a godly wife. You say, well, my wife's not godly. That's why she's your wife, not my wife. And so there's a difference that is there. But let me tell you something. You need to make up your mind, just like we did 45 years ago, hey, this thing is until death do us part. Amen. It's not a matter of, Oh, yeah, but y'all don't have any problems. Hey, listen, everybody has some kind of problem somewhere along the line. The thing is that you're committed to do the will of God. He doesn't make any difference. So it's kind of like saying, what part of death till death do you part don't you understand? I mean, seriously, it's there. So it takes commitment. Say, yeah, but you don't understand the way he's treating me. I know I don't, but I know one who does. But you don't understand. I didn't know all that about her. She didn't know all that about you either. I mean, it's a two-way street. But I say, hey, I make a commitment before God and these witnesses, till death do us part. That's the way it is. That's the way it's to go. Commitment, courage that's there, and it takes that in going forward. And I think the commitment and serving others and just kind of learning to help others where they are, but it takes that. It takes that courage of commitment. But I'll tell you something else we need. We need that courage of convictions as well. I need the courage of commitment. I need the courage of just convictions that are there. Ever felt inadequate for a task like mothering or like going to college or like going into ministry? Oh, God could never use me. I could never go into ministry. I know. I know what that's like. I mean, having flunked ninth grade speech, I feel your pain. I can never do that. You can do anything you ought to do, and you can do everything that God wills in your life. Everything. And so I just takes a little bit of conviction. God, I want help, and I want you to lead me. Joshua felt very inadequate, and Joshua really needed the courage, just like all of us need it as well. That's why he said in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You've got to lift this book up in your life and make sure you're honoring the God of the book as well. It's the Bible, this book of the law. I want to keep it in my heart. I want to take, I mean, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want power to overcome sin in your life? Get the word of God in your heart. Embed the word of God in your heart. Well, I don't have time with my current job. Change jobs. Make time. The Bible, absolutely key if you're going to have courage and have convictions as well. You ought to look in your Bible there in verse 7 and 8. Let me show you something I think is good. I circle mine, but I encourage you there, like in verse 7 where it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. You ought to, I circled the words to do in my Bible. At least underline it in your Bible. And verse 8, it says to do as well, right in the middle of the verse. You ought to circle or you ought to underline all of verse 8, 7 and 8, 9. I mean, all of it is just, those are the kind of verses you want to be in your heart and life. We must establish conviction of what is right and what is wrong if we're going to have courage. And for the Christian, the Bible is the place to go. You don't debate it, you just do it. Amen. Convictions. I will do right by God. I will go forward in my life. David in the Bible had courage when he went out to kill the great giant Goliath. But it was his conviction that God should not be challenged when he said, is there not a cause? And that's young David, the shepherd boy. He just had courage to stand out there when Goliath defied the whole Israelite army. The shepherd boy comes up and says, hey, count me in. I'll go out and fight the beast if I have to. I'll do it by myself and my slingshot and the guided missile that he threw out. And I've always thought that had to have been a guided missile stone that he threw, hurled there. I mean, hit just the right spot that his armor bearer couldn't stop and protect him from and knocked him out. And just imagine the victory that was there. We established the conviction to go forward for the Lord and doing right by the Lord. And remember, convictions come from the Bible. Our culture determines our preferences and our opinions that we might have. Someone has said, be bold in what you stand for, but careful in what you fall for. I like what Howard Hendricks said when he said, a belief is something you will argue about. A conviction is something you will die for. Lord, I want it from the Bible. It takes moral conviction to have courage simply to say no. Temptation to do evil? No. I know it's wrong and sinful. Worldly peers who try to lead you astray? No. I won't go astray. And furthermore, I'm going to cut you off from being my friend. The psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts, in Psalm 119:63. Those are the kind of friends you want in your life. Like going out tonight for the fellowship and the food. That's where you want to get your friends, is from your Sunday school and your church. And those are the kind of people you want to have as good friends to be able to have there. The devil will put opportunities in front of you, particularly young people, but just as much old people, to drink alcohol, to lose your purity, to do drugs, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to do everything that is wrong. Because the devil never lets down. He doesn't do it come in 6 days a week. As an enemy, he is waiting for your vulnerable point to open up. He is waiting for you to say, you know what? I've been to church enough, and I don't have to be faithful to all the services, and I can back off a little bit on Wednesday night, and I don't have to really participate in everything that's going on. I'm going to back off a little bit. And right then is when the devil jumps in there and gets you at your most vulnerable point. You don't ever let up, because Satan never takes a nap. It takes courage of convictions not to quit, which is exactly what God was telling Joshua in verse 7 when he told him, keep on going. Don't turn from the right hand. Don't turn to the left hand, so that you may prosper in whatever it is that you do. You keep going. We need that courage in our lives. But we also need courage of conscience in our lives as well. Be not afraid, he said in verse 9. The devil will work on your conscience and mind to get you to fear. And you know what you ought to do, but you're afraid, which is the absence of courage there, being afraid. We become afraid because the circumstances are overwhelming to us, or we become afraid because of what others may think. And this is why most Christians are afraid of telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, what will they think? I mean, they may not like it. They may slam the door in my face. They may tell me no, but I want to go forward for the Lord. The unknown that is there. I mean, God asks us to be involved in mission work, teach a class, or get married. And that's a scary proposition for some. Or not get married. God may want you to stay single, or to go resolve an offense, work something out, stand up to your boss if there's a question about what's happening at work, or the morals or ethics that are involved, or even the witnessing for the Lord. I want courage to do the right thing by God, to stand up. My conscience, I want to make sure it bears witness of the Word of God working in me and through me to fulfill the perfect will of God in my life. Courage. Courage in life. I need it all over my life. I need to step up to the plate. I want to be counted for Jesus Christ. You're going to be called upon to make a commitment next week. I can tell you, for some of you, it's going to take a lot of faith. And if you're willing to be challenged by the Word of God, as I know you will again next week, it is saying, Lord, there's a job to be done here. Our church is going forward for thee, and I want to be part of what's happening around here. And I want to make sure that my conscience-wise, I have no regrets, but I want to serve you faithfully, sacrificially, as we go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. LBC is going forward. It's going to go forward with or without you, but it's a whole lot easier to go with you if you help out. Lord, give me courage. Give me courage to maybe I can exercise faith I've never done before. And you exercise faith in the commitment next week, I promise you, when the mission conference time comes around and you talk about a faith promise commitment for world evangelism and church planting, God will enable you to do even more then for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, trust in God, courage to do the right thing for the Lord. I think of how sometimes we think, well, but the odds are somewhat imbalanced in my life, and I'm not sure I've got the odds on my part to give me courage to go forward. I mean, after all, Goliath is bigger than I am. And certainly God wouldn't want me to step up to something that's so much bigger than I am. I mean, after all, everyone else is doing it. And I just don't know if I can do this. And sometimes, you know, people get kind of suckered in. I think about Christmastown, how many people get pulled into drinking during business hours because they have their little business party and everybody else is doing it. And well, everybody else is living this way. And all the other teens are kind of doing that. I mean, 75% of them are actively doing things they shouldn't be doing. And so why can't I? Courage to just do the right thing. And it's not always easy. And it may bring tears. It may bring rejection. But I tell you, there'll be a whole chorus in heaven applauding. You took a stand. You did what was right. I remember years ago, I was invited to be able to go to one of the military war colleges for a week at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama. And they had that's their highest war college. And at the end of the war college, they invite in 70 civilians. And I went in and we heard lectures during the week. The lowest one ranking person that spoke was a one-star general. They had 2 3-star generals. Assistant Secretary of Defense of Air Force was there as well. And heard from all these people. They flew us all in, paid our way, and got there. And toward the end of the week, they decided we're going to have a little bit of a get-together. And all of the groups that were there had get together from all the men that were there in the military war college. And I wasn't sure about it. And the colonel, who was my escort there, we were all assigned an escort, he said, "Oh, everything will be fine." He said, "There's a chaplain's going to be there as well, and you can visit with him." I said, "Well, hey, that'd be great. I'm going to do that." And so I went to this place, and there was about 20 of us there in someone's house. And it wasn't quite a church fellowship, but it was a get together that they had. And I'll never forget, the colonel said to me, he said, now the guy right over there, he said, "That's the chaplain. You might want to talk with him." Well, it was easy to pick out the chaplain. He was the one with a cigar in one hand, a drink in the other hand. And I thought, you know what? This isn't my kind of place to be. This is not the atmosphere I like. Those are not the kind of preachers I like to run around with. And I asked the colonel to take me back to the motel where I was staying. You know, sometimes it's not the most popular thing in the world, but you do what's right because of the Bible. I'm going to work through it. And listen, if you've got a problem of any kind that you can't seem to resolve as a married couple or parent and child or somebody, that's what pastors are for. That's what a staff is for. That's what a church is for, to come help. Because sometimes we just don't know the answer in the Bible. So we go ask someone else that we have confidence and trust in. "Would you help me to know God's will about this matter? Because I need to make a decision." That's what a church family is all about. In serving the Lord and giving our very best for the Lord. Joshua knew he had to overcome his fears, but it was going to take courage. And I'd say for all of us, let's have the courage to stand up and do what's right by God. Go forward. Finish the job. Have faith. Trust the Lord. And to have a godly character, we have to have courage. The courage of commitment. The courage of convictions. The courage of conscience. If our life is going to amount to anything. We're told in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And notice one key thing, that our strength and courage comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from us. We will be blessed as we courageously go forward in the will of God, just like it says in verse 7, "Then that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." I want to give it my best. I want to give God my all. I want the will of God for my life. I want courage to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ in everything and in every way. But may I also say, a lot of people miss out on heaven because they don't have the courage to stand up against the teaching that they received maybe as a child or in some secular college someplace. They didn't have the courage to possibly go against their denominational background. And that's sad. Because when it comes to salvation and going to heaven, we look to the final authority, God's holy word. And then I can follow that pathway and I can settle the matter in my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's courage. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him in John 3:36. I want the Son, and I've got the Son. And I want to tell you something, you can have him too if you've never received Jesus as your very own. It's a courageous statement by God to make that statement. When you have my Son, I'll give you eternal life, everlasting life. And tonight, I say for all of us, it takes courage. It takes courage to give. It takes courage in living. And it takes courage in serving, knocking on doors, talking to people about Jesus Christ. Count on me on visitation. I'm scared, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind and courage to step up to the plate and be counted for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.